we go on further, the other question says, Assalamu alaikum. The other day we stopped at a masjid because it was almost time for Maghrib. I want to know if we as ladies could follow the Imam, will this be right?
First of all, I just make glad that the masjid that you stopped, the facilities for the ladies was totally separate. And however, if you were able to see the Imam and the Imam knew that you are there, because according to the Hanafi school of thought, it is a prerequisite for the Imam, if he is going to be leading the females, he has to include them in his niyyah, in his intention. And in South Africa, and we are talking more of Gauteng, majority of the A'imma are following the Hanafi school of thought. Therefore, they will have to make niyyah in order to have the females behind them. And in most cases, they do not do that. So we advise the females, if they have to go to a masjid, then they will perform their salat individually, not having the idea that they are going to follow the Imam, because the Imam does not make their intention for them.
Alright, Zaflam, let's start going further. Inshallah, the other question says, Assalamu alaikum. Can qadha and wajib fast be kept on any day, even Fridays? If I made an intention at night to fast a qadha fast, and on awakening the next day I don't fast, is this okay, Mufti Sahib?
There are 3-4 questions lined up there in that one sentence. Let's go from the back. That if you have done that, made intention of qadha, and you did not keep a qadha, it does not mean you have to make a qadha of that, this qadha. It still means that you owe, for example, one, and you still owe one. Because of your error and your negligence that you did not perform the qadha, although you wanted to do so, it does not multiply the qadha. Also, keeping of wajib fast for the listeners, will mean that fast, for example, you stated, if I pass my exam, then I am going to keep a fast. So that which was nafil, the nafil fast, you made it wajib upon yourself. For example, if I get better, I will keep a fast. So upon recovery, you have to keep a fast. So that which was nafil, you made it wajib, that's why it becomes wajib to keep. Now, wajib fast you can keep any day, obviously besides the Ramzan, because the Ramzan fast is farz, and also on the prohibited days which are stipulated in Sharia. The keeping of a fast on Friday is not advisable, because we celebrate generally, this is our Eid, Friday is our weekly Eid. However, if a person is habitual in keeping the 12th, 13th, 14th fast of the month, and the Friday comes in one of those days, then it is permissible to fast on a Friday. If a person, however, that even if he is not habitual to fast on a Friday, but decides to fast on a Friday, then that fast will be valid, although not liked by Sharia, but definitely it will be valid.
Alright, inshallah, it will be valid. JazakAllah. We go on further. The other question states, is there a special dua to read for a proposal, Mufti Sahib?
You can make salat, istikhara, salat, istikhara, salat, hajat, dua, salat of deed, make 2 rakat of salat, dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make some good proposal to come. Some ulama have stated recitation of Surah Yusuf is good in anticipation for a good proposal to come. However, that the regular Salat, recitation of Quran Kareem, recitation of Durood, do what is faraz and make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would care for you.
Alright, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give good proposals to everybody. The other question is, if one stays in Makkah for less than 10 days, it says, and chose not to be a musafir and read the full namaz, all the rakats, is it acceptable?
Remember that first of all a person staying 10 days, Hanafi staying 10 days in Makkah al-Mukarramah or any other place does not classify the person as a muqeem, that person is a musafir. And now, when Allah Rabbul Izzat has given the musafir a concession and to push away that concession and to reject that concession tantamount to rejecting the boon and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the person, obviously, while staying in the blessed land of Makkah or Medina, will definitely make the salat with Jamaat. Disobedient is that person who goes to Makkah and Medina and does not perform the salah with Jamaah in that blessed haram. And when I mean the haram, I mean the entire Mecca. So how unfortunate is that person who goes to Mecca and does not perform salah with Jamaah? Now that person, when he is going to stay less than 10 days and he is going to be in Mecca to Mukarramah and performing behind the Imam, obviously he is going to be following the Imam who is a muqeem naturally, and he is going to read the complete salat. Now the question arises, if this fellow does not follow the Imam and due to some reason he misses his salah with Jamaah, then for him in the room he has to perform the kasar salah because he is a musafir. He cannot perform the complete salah. If he performs the complete salah, then that salah is not valid. And if he has done so, first of all, he should seek forgiveness, repentance, make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then make qaza of all those salahs he has performed in that disobedient manner.
All right, and let's go on further, inshallah. Remember, dear listeners, this is a question in the answer session. Any questions you have with regards to marriage, business, etc., any questions, please call us. We have Mufti Ilyas on the line. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. And if we have access to a computer, then the email address is onair@radioislam.co.za. All right, we're going further, inshallah. The other question is, the brother says, can you use zakat money to buy a house? And if yes, when you rent it out, how do you utilize the money?
First of all, that you cannot utilize the zakat money to buy a house. That's one law.
Right.
Secondly, the reason is that who is going to become the owner of that zakat money? For validity of zakat, the recipient has to be deserving of zakat, meaning destitute, wayfarer, the person who's poor and needy, the widow who is destitute, and the person who is not giving zakat is the one who can receive zakat. Now if that person is not deserving of zakat and you give him zakat, then the zakat is not valid. Thirdly, that if you are going to purchase the house, who is going to become owner of the zakat? The building is not a living person to accept the zakat and to become owner and in possession and in control of the zakat. The building itself cannot receive the zakat per se. However, if there is a poor person and he has got himself in debt, and by purchasing a house and you want to help that person to free that house and to relieve him of the shackles of bond interest, then it is permissible for you to help that person out of his misery and out of this vicious haram interest system.
Alright, JazakAllah for them. We'll be going further, inshallah. The other question is, it's with regards to dreaming. Does dreaming of snakes and owls have any meaning?
Generally, the ulama have written that this refers to some unfortunate incident going to appear or occur in the person's life. He has to be cautious, some dangerous thing is going to happen, attack him. So he should be looking carefully about his transactions, dealings, and he should be wary of what he is going to be doing in the next few days.
All right, JazakAllah for that. And we have a call on the line. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Hello, brother. As-salamu alaykum. Sister, are you there? As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sister. JazakAllah for your call. What's your question?
Gee, I'd like to know that, you know, a girl that's in Persia, and what happened was, for a number of years, and then she suddenly went out of Persia. I would like to know the ruling for that question. And I do have a second question, and that is that, nowadays, you find young boys and girls, covering their hair. Is this permissible, and is the namaz accepted?
You mean coloring the hair?
Gee.
All right, JazakAllah. JazakAllah for the questions. Mudissa, we've got two questions.
Yes, got that.
Jamie, we have the answers to that.
First one, that the female who was in hijab, in Parda, and now unfortunately has discarded it, unfortunately she is now indulging in a major sin. Hijab, embodying of the hijab, is wajib in Islam, compulsory in Islam. And the females listening should know this. To cover themselves and to cover themselves adequately and to cover the face is wajib in Islam, and to go out without the face being covered is a major sin. Not a minor sin, a major sin. So the female who was in hijab and now has left hijab, unfortunately is indulging in a major sin which is deserving of the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is deserving of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That female should pluck up courage, repent, and then inshallah re-adorn the hijab. And also, perhaps that female has been influenced by the company or some explanation which was lacking was not given to her. She should consult the elders, ulama ikram, and then get the adequate research done on hijab parda so that academically she can be satisfied that it is compulsory wajib to adorn the hijab. As far as the second question is concerned, that for males and females to shrink their hair and to highlight their hair with these numerous colors is tashabbu bil kuffar. It is imitating the kuffar and the non-Muslims and those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with. This is the culture of those enemies of Islam, and this is the civilization of those who are against Islam, and this is imitating the West, and this brings upon a person the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as now a person, he made wuzu, he is in a state of wuzu, then unfortunately he colors the hair, then performs salah, the salah will be valid but definitely makruh. Now, if a person requires faraz ghusl, then he has to remove that coloring if it is of that nature where the water does not permeate the hair. If it is such a color that whilst washing the hair, you are actually washing the actual hair, then the ghusl will be valid. But if it is like cutex, etc., it has to be removed from the hair itself for the validity of a faraz ghusl. We should worry about this point. I am not conversant with those dyes and those highlighters, so I do not know whether after using them that it becomes part and parcel of that hair, or it is a coating, or it is a coating over the hair. If it is a coating or coating over the hair, then it has to be removed in order for the validity of a faraz ghusl.
All right. Mr. I think you mentioned a very, very important point, and I think I'd like to make some research on this, and inshallah we'll keep you posted on this. You'll have to visit some salons. Alright, anyway, 30 minutes past 8 o'clock, remember the number to call is 0118541548, the cell phone number is 0825808070, if you've seen any SMS questions. The other question is, will you a non-Muslim's rights, a non-Muslim rights he shares out onto a Muslim name, can he use that money?
If the non-Muslim has given a person, a Muslim, some share, some part of his estate, then the Muslim can take it, utilize it, and even go for Hajj with it. Once he has given that share, be it from a non-Muslim, he is fully entitled to utilize that money, that wealth, that property for his own benefit.
The other question is, on the computer, does the Imam of the Harams make a niyat for the woman as well?
According to the latest research, they do.
They do. Allah Jazakallah. Can a menstruating woman read the book called My Companion, Mufti Sahab?
Say that question again.
Can a menstruating woman read the book called, the kitab called My Companion?
Yes, it is permissible.
It is permissible. Alright, if a man has a bossy wife, Mufti Sahab, bossy wife, and says bad things about her, it's still dirty type in the question, we'll come to that inshallah. Have I become to the SMSs, what is the method of making Salatul Istikhara? They have to make it for 7 days. What if you don't get an answer?
Then read it. Salatul Istikhara is that salat which a person makes in order to receive guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm happy this question has come up, but just allow me a few minutes to explain this, because there are many myths around Salatul Istikhara. And a person who wants to know about it more can go to our kitab called Nafil Salat, Sunnah Salat, Qaza Salat, and it's on our website alislam.co.za. As far as this Salat is concerned, then you recite, perform two rakats Nafil Salat, and there is a particular dua that you have to recite. And when it comes to the word Amr, Hazi al-Amr, then you think about the issue on hand. And then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to going to bed and read it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you some guidance. And then retire to bed. It is good not to talk to anybody after the Salatul Istikhara. Istikhara basically you ask you for divine guidance and intervention in your decision that is hanging and above your head, which you cannot find any definite answer to. Now people, after making Salatul Istikhara when they sleep, unfortunately many of the opinion is made under the wrong opinion. They think some malaika or angel is going to come and talk to them. They think that perhaps Jibreel alayhi salam is going to come and shake their hands and give them some note telling them what to do. This is, unfortunately, people think about this. This is not true. If some thing like that happens, that is shaz, that is rare. It can happen, but it is not necessary. What is the actual thing? When you get up, after you have performed your Salatul Istikhara, now when you get up, your heart, in which direction is going? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you in a state of joy or delight? Are you depressed? Are you worried? Are you frightened? Are you happy that I should go through this? And your heart, you know your heart best. In this case, every person who performs the Salatul Istikhara is the mufti for himself, or the female one. Then you decide. Now if you are happy within 2-3 days, you do not have to go through the whole procedure of 7 days. And if you do not get any inclination or any dream or any sign that you want, then you can make more than 7 days. 7 days, generally, but within 7 days, or in that duration, a person generally gets an answer, positive or negative. That is why it is stipulated about 7.
All right, JazakAllah. Now we come to the bossy wife. Let's see what she is doing to the husband, the bichara husband here. It says, if a man has a bossy wife and says bad things, she says bad things about his family, and this poor husband listens to her, then what is the Shari'at ruling with regards to this? I think he's getting it from all sides. We have put you on this husband. Would you start? They want to know what is the Shari'at ruling regarding this bossy wife of his?
First of all, that he should not divorce her. Secondly, that he should try to address everything that she is saying. That definitely there should be some truth in what she is saying. And he should not just regard it as she's kicking up tantrums for nothing. Thirdly, that he should sit down and discuss this matter with her in detail. Failing which, and I repeat again, those who signed his nikah book and were very desirous of putting their signature on the nikah book, he should call them and tell them, see, my wife, now she is becoming rowdy and she is bullying me around and she is swearing and she is becoming abusive. I cannot control this. So those who are her mahrams, they must come and help him now to resolve the situation and find the way forward. Failing which, then some ulama ikram should be brought in to provide spiritual guidance for both parties, the husband and the wife, and find the proper sharia solution.
Inshallah, Allah make it easy for this husband and all the husbands and all the wives. Allah put muhabbat between them. Alright, we're going further, inshallah. Remember, this is the question and the answer session. We are taking in the calls. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And the email address is onair@radioislam.co.za. And let's go on further, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. The listener says, if a person missed 3 rakats of Isha, how must he complete it? That is, what must he read in the rakats? Jazakallah.
I have written one kitab, it is called How to Complete Missed Rakat. It is called How to Complete Missed Rakat.
Mm-hmm.
You see it on my website, alislam.co.za. Every salat, and the person who comes late to the salat is called a masbuk, late comer. And every instant possible, we have recorded in that book. Now the question is, the person, he came and performed 3 rakats, and he missed one of Isha. Now what he has technically missed is a rakat containing the Surah Fatiha and a Surah. Now when the Imam has given the salam, this person here, first of all, he must know that after his recitation of At-Tahiyyat, he will not recite anything else. He will remain silent. As soon as the Imam gives the salam, he will stand. And he will read the Sana, the Tahawuz, the Tasmiya, and then recite Surah Fatiha and the Surah and terminate his Salat as a normal Rakat.
Alright, Jazakallahu Khairan, Mr. Sajjan. I have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Well, I just got a little dilemma. If a brother is running a business, and I take out zakat towards that every end of the month.
Okay.
But myself, running the business, if for example, I'm not really making, can I use the zakat on my children?
All right, there's a question.
Yes.
Just hold the line, brother. What is somebody there?
Yes. What do you call, is he manager of the business, owner of the business?
Are you the manager of the business?
Yeah, the owner, yeah.
Are you the owner?
Yes.
Okay, Alan.
Jamie Fisam?
Alan Fisam.
Okay, what's up, Alan? Inshallah. Jazakallah for the call, brother.
Alright,
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The answer to that?
First of all, that alhamdulillah, the brother has got very good and noble intentions that he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking out zakat. And alhamdulillah, he's trying to do so monthly. However, few things he has to understand. That if he is not one who's supposed to be giving zakat, then he does not have to take out zakat. Perhaps he is under the impression that as soon as you own a shop, then you have to give zakat. Zakat, basic formula is the assets minus the liabilities, and then you have got something that is left, and that which is left is over the zakat nisab, then you have to give 2.5% of that figure. Now the brother, he is definitely stating something which denotes that he is not one who is supposed to be giving zakat. Because if at the end of the month, that after he's taking out his so-called zakat, he himself is in need of it, then that means he's not supposed to take out the zakat.
Zakat money.
However, that if I have understood him well, that he wants to spend it upon himself,
he
cannot do that. You cannot give zakat and spend it on yourself. You cannot be a giver and a receiver of zakat simultaneously. Also, he cannot give his zakat to his children. That a person cannot take out zakat and give to the children or the father or the mother. Yes, he can give to the brother or sister.
All right, JazakAllah, Mr. for the answer. We have another caller. Sister, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Ji, now in case, sister, go ahead.
Yeah, I can't hear you very well. What I want to know is, I've got two questions. I just want to know, when you're reading Quran, my mommy has a habit of like shaking, going to and back. Is that permissible?
What's
the thing? Hello?
She's got a habit of going forward and back.
Yeah, when you're reading Quran, you know, going front and back.
Okay, ji, ji, ji.
Is that permissible? And the other one is, if you're sitting and reading Quran, are you allowed to lean against the wall?
Okay.
Or do you have to be away, like bend down and read or something?
All right. Is it also, sir?
Yes.
All right. JazakAllah, Mr. Sahib, will answer your question.
I listen on the
radio, ji. All right, JazakAllah. Okay. All right, Mr. Sahib, the first question is, going forward and backward and reading the Quran Kareem, is it permissible?
Generally, what happens, especially with those who are in the process of becoming Hafiz, that if you go to any Hibd Madrasa, and the speciality of that class is that all the students will be going forward at that. And then when he's coming to Mekki's door and Sabak door, and then comes the Ramzan also, he go forward backward. So this helps the person somehow or the other to memorize, or he gets into a rhythm, and this physical movement is permissible, even for the Hafiz and for the non-Hafiz while reciting the Quran Kareem. It becomes a habit, uncontrollable, involuntary habit, and the Shariat will allow such a habit to take place. As far as reciting the Quran Kareem, yes, there are adab, definitely. The person should make wuzu, person should try to face Qibla, should have full respect for Quran Kareem, and know that he is reciting, or she is reciting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is listening, read with tajweed, read correctly with the proper maharij. All those things have to be taken into consideration. However, due to tiredness, etc., if a person leans against the wall or sits on a chair and recites Quran al-Kareem, then that is permissible. Do not sit in such a position of the transgressors. Do not sit in a so-called luxury position, or a position that is unbecoming of a Muslim reciting the Salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person is elderly, feeble, weak, and wants to sit on the chair, or in a comfortable position, then that is permissible. But the young people want to get into super comfortable position, that is definitely makruh.
Makruh, alright, JazakAllah. The other question is, Mr. Sam, the brother wants to know, what was the name of the second Muazzin of Islam? The other question is, was he blind, and is he being referred to in Surah Abbas?
First Muazzin of Islam, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And definitely the second Muazzin of Islam was blind, and he is referred to in Surah
Abbas.
And we have written about him also. Go to my website, you will find the book called, it is a Kitab by Hazrat Mufti Bulanchari, Ashiq Allah Bulanchari, Rahmatullah Alayh, and we have written about Hazrat Bilal and the second Muazzin of Islam.
Alright,
name just slips me at the moment, but it will come before the program.
Alright, inshallah, Timur Sab, the second Muazzin was Abdullah bin Ummatum radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Yes.
Alright, JazakAllah. And he was a blind Sahabi. Alright, the other question is, what is the ruling regarding hijab and niqab?
It is wajib.
It is wajib.
Now, people, the modernists in this world, they want to discard the hijab because they have got ulterior motives. And when there is so much research has been done, not by the Indo-Pak ulama, people are under the impression that the Indo-Pak ulama are stressing that this hijab has to be maintained and has to be upkept. And they feel that this hijab is a Indian custom or Pakistani custom, whereas this hijab is more stringently applied in the Arab states which are following the Sharia. And there you will get the females who adhere to the hijab even covering their hands and their feet even. The hijab is a proven factor from the Quran and the Hadith. There is a nice kitab on hijab by Dr. Maimon. People should try to access it and read it. We have written on it. On our website there is an article. It is called, Is It Faraz? Is It Obligatory to Cover the Face or Not? And if a person now reads Quran al-Kareem, Tafsir, Surah Nur and Surah Hujarat, etc., you'll come clearly across the hijab ayat, and the commentators are very clear that the females should adopt hijab and cover their faces. Those modernists who want to take out their females and now want to put them in colleges, schools and universities, they, because they want the females to be out there to legalize their transactions and their monetary gains, they are discarding and they are telling the females, yes, it is permissible to discard the hijab, whereas this is not the case. Where there is hijab and modesty and the dignity of the female, we should worry about that and give preference for the protection of the hijab of females.
Alright, JazakAllah, we'll step on further, inshallah. The other question is, a brother wants to move into a house. He says, how does one ensure that the house they are moving into has not been dwelled or is being dwelled by evil spirits, referring to jinnat and shayateen?
Then Mawlana Kara a person, a good Muslim, any good Muslim, when you go into a house, you can actually make out whether this house here has got spirits or evil spirits. And overland, firstly, as a Muslim, we should not be afraid of those things. And secondly, that we have taken the house and you have cleaned it, you have washed it, and you have done what we call the purity, all the purifying actions of it, then you should not be afraid and have no doubts or suspicions whatsoever, irrespective whether that house was belonging to the leader of the mushriks. As long as you have gone in, you have cleaned it, you have purified it, you have cleansed it, and you have brought it up to the standard what Muslims wanted, then you should not worry about whether they are evil spirits. As soon as you start reading Salat, performing Salat there, and as soon as you start reading Quran al-Kareem, making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting durood, and doing amal khair, good actions in that house, then even if they are evil spirits, inshallah, they will run away.
Definitely, inshallah. But Murisam, just to add to that, if somebody has it suspicious at 1% by chance, would you say, however, it is permissible and advisable to read Surah Baqarah when moving into this new premises, as the Tilawat of Surah Baqarah actually keeps shaitan away?
You can read, as I said, Quran al-Kareem. I'm not specific about Surah Baqarah, but if a person wants to do that, he may do that. But it is not recorded anywhere categorically that you have to recite Surah Baqarah.
Alright.
Read Quran al-Kareem.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go on further, inshallah. The other question is, Assalamu alaikum. Can the name Adina be given as it is, or is there another name combined to it?
Actually, the Junior Sheikh Jad is a specialist in the name, but I'm telling you that name is very simple.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go on further, inshallah. The other question is, due to my hair falling, I purchased a tonic oil called Vigro Tonic. Can I make wudu on this oil? Is it acceptable?
As long as that oil is oil and it is permeating the scalp of the hair, head, then it is permissible. However, I do not know about the contents of the ingredients of that oil, whether it is permissible to utilize that oil. And generally, it should be permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go on further. The brother says, Assalamu alaikum, I would love to marry a Nasara, but I'm a Muslim. Am I allowed to marry her?
Ulama Ikram have stated, although permissible, not advisable. Because we are seeing so much of difficulty, especially in this age, that one is that a matter is permissible. So every permissible matter need not be done. Every permissible matter need not be executed. For example, it is permissible to marry four wives. This doesn't mean now that the Muslim man must run around taking four wives, because there are certain conditions and certain laws to be applied and also to be upheld. Now, if a person wants to do everything that is permissible, then he must be ready for all the consequences, and is he ready for that? Generally, we have found that those who go on to this permissible ruling, then once they get married, the food issue comes about, then the worshipping issue comes about, then the children, when they come, the madrasa issue comes about, the naming of the child comes about. So there are so many issues. So definitely we say, highly not advisable.
Not advisable, Jazakallah. Right, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. It says, these days many foreign brothers, that is from African countries, who tend to join any other brother who is performing his namaz, thinking that one can fulfill namaz with jamaat conditions. Please comment.
Do you understand what he says?
No, sir. I'm also trying to make out what it's trying to say. Yeah.
See, perhaps he's saying that those brothers, they join the salah. Now, this happens when you are also going to the masjid late, and you are in the corner of the masjid or in the same, the courtyard of the masjid, you start your salah. And all of a sudden, you get a feeling there's someone behind you. And you feel definitely this brother has joined you. It is permissible for that brother to join you. Now you just become the imam and carry on. Meaning, you are now reciting previously all your takbirat, etc., Allahu Akbar, etc., softly, silently. So now you do it audibly so that he can follow suit.
Alright, Jazakallah. I think that is the question. Definitely, Jazakallah. Alright, you have a call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Sister, assalamu alaikum, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Jesus, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jee.
I would like to ask Mufti if interest money can be used for traveling overseas or to use it in the garden.
Interest money to use overseas or in the garden?
Yes.
Traveling overseas, what do you mean, brother?
When you say overseas, what do you mean, sister?
Traveling overseas for a holiday or something.
Interest money.
Interest money, Jee Mufti, sir.
And for the garden, what do you mean?
For the garden, what do you mean, sister?
Like if you dig up your garden and you have a new lawn laid and trees planted and things like that.
Yeah,
alright, Jazakallah for the question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jim Bissab, going Kamos, can you use interest money?
For both these issues, it is absolutely haram and not permissible. It's prohibited to utilize interest money for travel. Whether the travel is for obligatory purpose or for visiting or touring or sightseeing, it is all haram. You cannot utilize interest money for travel purposes. Secondly, you cannot utilize interest money for gardens.
Right.
For you buying a fertilizer or planting of trees or renewing the lawn or putting false lawn, all those things you'll have to use your lilla money.
Alright, going further, Mustafa, is it jaiz to use medication to enhance your performance?
Permissible.
Jazakallah. The other question is, assalamu alaikum. The brother says to make dua all the time. They say it is very good. Then what is wrong making dua at the home before the mayyit leaves the house?
We should understand something very simple. This question is very important. If we understand, inshallah, then we will be able to practice upon sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salat performance is very good. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us to perform salat during those three times, if a person says, I want to perform salat those three times, then what of that person who insists that I want to perform salat sunrise, sunset, at zawal? Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu, when he was giving the khutbah of Eid, one person got up and performed two rakats, started performing two rakats of nafil salah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him that do not perform that salah. The person said, O Ali, O Amirul Mu'mineen, salat is a good action. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu said, yes, I also know salat is good action. But beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform that salat before the Eid salah. Therefore, when beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not do it, we should not do it. I fear, I know that Salat is a good action, but your performance of this Salat, when it is not proven, it is vain and futile. And let alone you getting sawab, I fear you will get punishment. So, we are getting a yardstick and a criterion. And that is criteria is that whatever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, we should do. That is very simple. This deen is easy to understand and practice. We are adding and subtracting. That is why it's becoming difficult to practice upon deen. Now, when no dua has been proven at that time, then we will not do it. For example, that to raise the hand is part of etiquette of dua. And Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi stated there are seven places where dua, when you make it, you should raise your hands. If a person now decides, no, raising of hands is part of etiquette of dua, so before going to toilet, I must now raise my hands, and then coming out of toilet, raise the hands and make dua, and then while before eating, raise the hands, after eating, raise the hands, and then there are 100 incidents I can quote to you where you do not have to raise your hands, although raising the hands is part of etiquette whilst making the dua. That dua is not proven, therefore that which is not proven, we will not do, and we will not encourage others to do. That which is proven and substantiated in Sharia, we will encourage others to do and call others to do.
Alright, JazakAllah Mulisa for the clarification. We go on further, inshallah. The other question is, Assalamu Alaikum. The brother says, when a lady performs namaz, when going into sajda, her burqa comes in the way and the forehead and nose touches the burqa. Is the salah valid?
Permissible.
JazakAllah. We go on further, inshallah. Assalamu Alaikum. It says, is it permissible to perform salah with short sleeve kurta? Will the salah be makruh?
When we are going before the King of Kings, the Master of Masters, a human being, when he goes to the courtroom, he dresses up. And if he's going to the Supreme Court, then before going to the court the next morning, he will dress in the evening and look at himself in the mirror, that am I looking presentable because I'm going to go to this judge. And these judges who are going to be ruling contrary to Islamic law, so much care is taken that we dress up before we go to and present ourselves to these judges. Here we go before the judge of judges. A Muslim should dress himself properly, and part of ethics of dressing and mannerism of dressing is that we should be dressing so that our parts of body are covered adequately, properly, and we present ourselves nicely before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a tendency of wearing short sleeves at performing salat, and more so that performing salah bareheaded. Our simple request is to those people, show us one hadith, only one hadith, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah without having a headgear. Show us only one hadith, irrespective of which mazhab you follow. Show us only one hadith. And similarly applying to the short sleeve story. People think it is part of fashion and to be counted out all amongst the masses to come into the masajid, and they do not even bother to cover their head and come in with short sleeves. If this is not controlled, in the sad situation that the day is not far, if we do not control this, people will be coming into the masjid with bermudas to perform salah.
All right, Mr. JazakAllah for that. Allah subhanahu from that samana. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. The brother says, I would like to know what's the best nikah book to read for do's and don'ts before making nikah.
There is two books available. One is A Gift to Bride and one is A Gift to Bridegroom. The other is A Muslim Woman, and these are all available in the Darul Uloom Azadwal bookshop.
Alright, JazakAllah, they do have some wonderful kitabs as well. The other question is, Assalamu alaikum, if a person sees Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream telling a person to make another home, what does this mean?
First of all, the person, he sees Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is clear, man ra'ani faqad ra'ani, whosoever sees me has verily seen me. This is Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. Shaitan cannot take the shape of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, the person should be thankful and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing him to see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. This dream could have various meanings. One is that he could be meaning change your house, go to another house with the current wife. Perhaps this person feels that dream means that he should take another wife. This dream does not necessarily mean that he should be taking another wife. Yes, it could mean that change your inside of your home also, those things which are un-Islamic, that he must take out of the house. And he must change the setup, the environment, situation, everything in his house. So there are a lot of interpretations. what is applicable, he should take seriously.
Alright, Jazakallah, very fortunate indeed, brother. Jazakallah, and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have seen Nabi Kareem Sa'asim in the dream. We go on further. Is it permissible to follow all the halal organizations?
The halal organization will be classified halal organization if those people have got checks and balances in the place, if those people have got ulama ikram on board, if those people have got personnel who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if that is not only solely administered for the whole sole purpose of monetary gains and financial benefit.
Alright, Jazakallah. The other question is, Assalamu alaikum to all at Radio Islam. Wa alaikum assalam. Who was the Muazzin of Nabi Kareem Sa'asim in Mecca? Is there an ayat or hadith that says hijab is wajib? Mention it to make it clear.
Muazzin of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
Mecca, he says.
Mecca.
Che.
Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually did not carry long enough, but we got records that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went for conquest of Mecca, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala who was with him. And therefore we would classify also the other Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala who is the Muazzin of Islam and of Makkah al-Mukarramah.
Alright, and the other question is, Musafi asks, is there an ayat or hadith that says hijab is wajib? Mention it to make it clear.
Advisable you log on to my website or you email me, inshallah, I'll give you all the relative ayats and the hadiths. They are numerous in number.
Right.
So, you can see Surah Nur, you can see Surah Hujarat, and enough ayats explaining about hijab and of screening and of separation of men and women.
Definitely, JazakAllah. So just very quickly, one ayat in Surah Hujarat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi Kareem Sa'asim that Ya ayyuhan nabi yuqul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihim. We're going to go forward, inshallah. Mustafa, earlier we asked you the question regarding the name Adila. The brother or sister says that, Assalamu alaikum, I was told to change the name of Adila.
I do not see any reason for that.
Alright, we go on further. Can the Hanafis make Jama'ah Salah on Safar in South Africa?
You talk about Jama'ah Bain Salatain.
Possible, Jee.
Jama'ah Salah is missing the Salah. Hanafis are allowed to perform Jama'ah Bain Salatain, what we call Suri, meaning wait for the last time. Wait for the last time of Asr, and then make Asr, and then make Maghrib. That means you will just make Asr before the sunset, and then after that you will have a cup of tea and wait for the sun to set, and then perform the Maghrib. Or wait for the last time of Maghrib. You have to be quite good in doing that. And then you perform your Maghrib, and then perform your Isha. That is what we call, we Hanafis are saying, that is Jama'ah Bain Salatain Suri. The Shafi Hazrat, they say that Jama'ah Bain Salatain Hakiki in reality is permissible. Some Hanafi ulamas also that is say that is permissible.
All right, Mustafa, you mentioned having a cup of tea, and I just can't wait to have a cup of tea, mashallah.
Yeah.
Right, assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to cut the nails over a basin and wash the nails down the drain?
Permissible.
Permissible, Jazakallah. We go on further. It says, assalamu alaikum, Maulana, are we allowed to refuse a proposal because one party is Gujarati and one is not?
This masla is the masla of kuf, which the Hanafi scholars have expounded. If you look at Hidayah, etc., the discussion of kuf has been mentioned. And in our country, that is South Africa, and I do not know about other countries and commenting on South Africa, because we have got a lot of streamlined listeners all over the world. So I'm referring to our country, South Africa, that at one stage, there was this issue that a person belonged to the Surti community or Gujarati community, the other one non-Surti or Meman community, or the other one belonging to the Urdu or Miyabai community. Now that was few years ago, 10 years ago. That has dwindled down. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sangoi Ramatullah Alayhi, commenting on the situation in South Africa, stated that this does not apply to South Africa any longer. So it is absolutely permissible for a Gujarati to marry outside the tribe relationship. And however, what we should worry about, whether it is Gujarati in Gujarati or Mehman in Mehman, or Gujarati to Mehman or Mehman to Mirabai, irrespective of what it is, we should worry about the compatibility of it, the compatibility of the spouses. If there is going to be no compatibility of spouses, by compatibility I mean the style of living, method of living, the method of cooking, the method of rising and sitting, the method of talking, the mannerism, the ethics, and the special psychology between the two parties, and whether they can mix adequately, whether they can perform reasonably well, whether they are compatible from so many angles, their dressing, their behavior, the cooking of style of curry and bread and roti and rice. So if they are going to be compatible, or they can be made easily compatible, then they should not refuse for mere petty grounds, or on the grounds that this person is Gujarati, or that person is Mehman, or that person is from the Urdu place.
Right, JazakAllah for the Mustafa. We have just have a number of questions. I think about the last four questions after we terminate. The other question is, it was sent in via email, sorry, via fax. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Number one is, if I have made my niyyah to perform Hajj, but what happens if I pass away before I have the opportunity to fulfill it? In my will, I have made concession for somebody to perform a Hajj Amral. How does my family members go about fulfilling my wish?
First of all, that it is not adequate that you just do what you have done. You should make an effort that come the next Hajj, you should be on the flight going for Hajj. You should not be complacent by stating that I have put aside the money and I have wrote in the will and I have now instructed the executors of the will that they should perform the Hajj Abayyan if I die. This is complacency and this is not good enough. You should make every effort that you yourself perform your own Hajj. Yes, that if you have made the will now and before the Hajj came and you died, then your executors will see that the money allotted by yourself, they will utilize it and find someone to go and perform the Hajj Abayyan.
Alright, JazakAllah. We have another question. Is it says, if one has missed Zuhr and Asr time, sorry, if one has missed Zuhr and Asr time is set in, can I make the Qadha of Zuhr before Asr?
Yes, it is permissible to do that. If you are performing your Salat individually, it is permissible to do that.
Okay.
And if you are Sahib al-Tartib, then you should be performing your Zuhr, then your Asr.
Alright. When the beard measures more than a fist, Mufisab, and a person trims it, how should the hair be disposed?
First of all, this is important. Because just as one extreme, people are keeping the beard that is close to the face, and they say that is beard, then unfortunately we get to another extreme now, that people want to keep lengthy beards, and that lengthy beard also, it is against the Sunnah. It is very clear, see our article about the beard on our website, that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala adhu should trim beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak beard, and he should make it fist length. The tendency of making the beard more than the first length, that is against the Sunnah, and it is in fact a symbol of those who do not follow any mazhab. So we as Hanafi, Shafis, etc. should know that it is wajib to keep a first length beard and to trim it. Dispose of the beard by burying the hair, or dispose it so that no one can get hold of the hair.
Alright, JazakAllah. Musa, we just received an email. Alright, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah. JazakAllah for asking. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Allah keep you always happy. Go ahead.
The Fijr namaz, can you, from when can you make your Fijr salah? You must wait till Azan goes, or after Sehri time, or, you know, for male and female, and then Shafi, then Hanafi, it's the same rule.
Alright, is that the only question, brother?
Yes.
Alright, JazakAllah so much. Muftisab will respond.
Okay, JazakAllah.
Right, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Muftisab,
Currently, if you look at for today, the theory ends 533. Meaning, there are various things that have ended at 533. One is theory ends. Second is tahajjud time ends. Thirdly is isha time ends. Fourthly is witr time ends. So, four things have ended at 533. And at 534, Fajr has started. Now the brother has asked an important question about the Salah. But remember, and the Azan, that the Azan does not mean that the time of Zuhr Salat has set in, or the Fajr has set in. This is to call the males to the masjid. The females can perform the Zuhr Salat before the Zuhr Azan. And they can perform if the Asr time is set in before the Asr time, before the Asr Azan. Obviously, Maghrib, they have to wait for the Azan and then perform. They can perform the Isha Salah as soon as the Isha Salah sets in. They do not have to wait for the Isha Azan. The Isha Azan, or the Azan, is a proclamation, is a call, an invitation for the males to come to the Masjid. So, the technically speaking, the female and the male can perform their sunnah of the Fajr at 534 currently, and then perform the Fajr Salah.
Alright, Mustafa, Jazakallah. And the other two questions are the one email sent from Brother Muhammad Musa. And Brother Muhammad Musa, Jazakallah for the very, very kind words used in this email. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you also in abundance. Ameen. The question he has, Mufti Sahib, is can Mufti Sahib give us some advice regarding concentrating during namaz? Because sometimes he says the mind tends to drift away from namaz. Ulama
Ikram have stated various things. First of all, a person should be focused, knowing that he is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the hadith of Jibreel, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that worship Allah as if to say you see him. If you do not reach that level, then know fully well that he is seen. So, you are standing, ruku, sijda, know fully well Allah is watching me. Allah is listening to me. Allah is observing me. So I must do all the postures at least properly. Then concentrate that I am in the court of Allah, I am in the presence of Allah. Try to learn a little bit Arabic so that you can understand what the Imam is reading. And when you are reading alone, you at least know what you are reading. Know that you are going to be standing before Allah for judgment and accountability.
Yes,
some have stated that no, think that you are on the full sirat and Jahannam is below you and you are going towards Jannah. And you are looking for the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why some ulama have recommended slight closure of the eyes, not total closure, for concentration. So we should also have sincerity and devotion, make this wuzu properly, inshallah the salat will come into order.
Alright, JazakAllah. Mustafa, the other question is, I think two other questions thereafter we're going to terminate. Up to what time can a person read Fajr?
Till sunrise, before sunrise. For example, now sunrise is 6:55, but it's 5 to 7. Then he has to complete the Fajr before 6:55.
Alright.
You understand this, that if he starts one rakat and the sun rises, then he has to repeat, that will go into qaza, contrary to Asr. Some other time I will explain what is called what the naqis and what the tam.
Alright, inshallah, just before sunrise and not at 8:30, Brother Jed. The other question is, Mufti Sahib, can you pay a fine with interest money?
If it was not your fault.
That's not your fault, JazakAllah. And the last question is, if somebody owes you money and does not bother to make any means of repaying you, what can be done in the Shariat way?
First of all, if it was an Islamic court, you should go to court. However, we are not in an Islamic country, nor do we have Islamic courts. However, you can take him now to the Muslim arbitration court. That is one method of trying to get your money out. However, you should approach him individually. Then you approach him with witnesses that you have approached him. Thirdly, that you approach him with the elders of your society. Fourthly, you approach him together with the elders, with the ulama of your society. And constantly make dua that he pays you. Today, the brother wants me to say that I cannot utilize force. I said you cannot utilize force.
Alhamdulillah. And to the brother, remember the person gave you the money in good faith. If you are owing somebody, please to pay the person. And Mustafa bin Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a shaheed passes away, every gunah of his, inshallah, has been made maaf except debt. You know, that has not been made maaf by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Mujahid, the person go out to fight the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jee.
And the shaheed, and he becomes shaheed
because
the matter. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that all the sins of the shaheed are forgiven except death. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that before he performs salat or janazah for anyone, then he should inquire that has this person has got any debt. If he got any debt, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not perform the salat or janazah until someone took responsibility of paying the debt.
Alright, JazakAllah for that wonderful advice, and JazakAllah for the very interesting program. We learned a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make your contributions towards all our listeners, inshallah, a means of sadaqah and jariyah for Mufti Sahib and for the entire family. JazakAllah once again, and Mustafa Rimam Masin, humble du'as as well.
Inshallah.
Amen, inshallah. We can now have our cup of tea. JazakAllah, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.